Good afternoon. It's 73 degrees in Richland Center at 1208. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland Center Common Council has been discussing a development on Story Field. As previously discussed, during the standing room only meeting on Tuesday, September 2nd, the council currently has a developer who has signed a pre-development agreement with the city for the development of an 8-duplex, zero-step housing project on Story Field, which is currently owned by the city. To incentivize the much-needed housing issue, the city is being asked to sell the land for $1, recognizing the substantial private investment and infrastructure responsibilities the developer will undertake. Attorney Michael Wendell has reviewed the proposed sale price of $1 and has indicated it is valid under Wisconsin's public purpose doctrine. In return, the developer agrees to construct all required public infrastructure, complete the project within 24 months of land transfer, meet all applicable design and permitting standards, and deliver zero-step accessible housing. Story Field was taken by the city with the idea of possible future development. To date, the city has invested approximately $40,000 in legal fees, conceptual engineering, utility preparation, and staff hours toward the project. The infrastructure for the development is estimated to cost the developer between $800,000 and $1 million. The estimated fair market value of the development is between $4 and $6 million. The project is estimated to generate approximately $100,000 in new property taxes annually, with about one-third of the revenue allocated to the city, one-third to the county, and one-third to the school. Per ordinance, the Common Council may, at its discretion, require a portion of the land to be designated for public use. After much discussion and input from residents at the September 2nd meeting and additional questions from council members, the council voted to table a decision until its next meeting. Knowing that it was a major decision and an important matter for many residents, the council held a special meeting last night for the sole purpose of making a decision on the Story Field project, which was again a standing room only crowd. The Richland Center Common Council again listened to residents' concerns. 13 people spoke, with 8 against the development and 5 in favor. Alderperson Rachel Schultz then amended the motion for the city to maintain ownership of the green space, retention pond, and booster station, with them becoming part of the Parks Department, and to keep its name within the Story family. Alderperson Steve Downs then seconded the amendment. The green space would be approximately 1.5 acres, which would keep the sledding hill open for public use. The amendment then failed on a 6-2 vote with Ron Fruit, Karen Tepley, Tom McCarthy, Melanie Walters, Doug Martinick, and Ryan Cairns all voting against, with Rachel Schultz and Steve Downs voting in favor. Following the vote on the amendment, the council then passed the original pre-development agreement unanimously. The council did take one additional action and elected Brian Jones to serve on the Utility Commission. Republican state lawmakers have introduced a handful of bills aimed at increasing affordable housing supply in Wisconsin. The legislation was announced in a press conference on Tuesday and includes proposals to allow more accessory dwelling units to be built, streamlining the process for creating new lots for housing subdivisions and establishing a revolving loan program for first-time home buyers. State Representative Robert Brooks of Saukville referenced homes built a generation ago.
We're talking about small ranch homes, bungalow homes, some of those homes built without garages or alleyways or detached garages. So that's what we're talking about, built on smaller lots, 1,500 square foot, 1,200 square foot.
Representative David Armstrong of Rice Lake.
We're not building those type of homes. In my area, a starter home is $400,000. That's not a starter home. Right? That's not what my workforce can afford.
Wisconsin Realtors Association President and CEO Tom Larson said the average home price in Wisconsin is now about $340,000, and the average age of a first-time home buyer is 38.
Wisconsin's affordability is worse than any of our surrounding neighbors. It's worse than Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, and Iowa. The longer that we put off home ownership, it has impacts on our economy and our families.
Lawmakers say the bill package is not aimed at increasing subsidized housing, but increasing the amount of overall housing stock in the state. Any legislation that passes the Assembly this session would also need state Senate approval before going to the governor. The Senate has not been on the floor at all this month. The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its August 2025 Wisconsin Real Estate Report, revealing that existing home sales increased by a modest 1.8% relative to August 2024. Meanwhile, the statewide median home price rose 5.3% to $338,000. Affordability was essentially unchanged, falling just 0.1% since August 2024, and the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate remained elevated from 6.50% in August 2024 to 6.59% in August 2025. Year-to-date, home sales increased 1.1% compared to the first 8 months of 2024. State lawmakers are introducing bills that would change Wisconsin elections. Both Republicans and Democrats have their own proposals, but they introduced them together at a press conference. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Republican Representative Scott Krug from Nakusa presented the Republican plans. His bills include standardizing drop box rules, creating standard early voting hours, and new rules for election observers. One of the most notable among his plans, a bill to allow poll workers to begin processing absentee ballots on the Monday before Election Day. Most states allow that, but Wisconsin does not. A similar bill last year was blocked by Republicans in the state Senate.
This package that I'm looking to introduce this week does take into account a lot of the things that President Trump has said about elections. We need safety, we need security, we need to know who voters are, but we also want to make sure that, you know, we understand that we set the line in Wisconsin, that we have our own election system.
Meanwhile, Democrats' proposals largely focus on increasing voter education and accessibility. Under their plan, high schoolers would get voter registration forms and be allowed to pre-register before they turn 18. Their bills would increase accessibility training for poll workers and mandate that elected officials work a shift as a poll worker, so they understand the system. Representative Lee Snodgrass from Appleton.
I have seen time and time again my colleagues making false claims about election security or administration. And as I tell people, there's no better way of learning than doing.
Their plans would also increase protection for clerks, their staff, and poll workers. Krug has signed on as an author of three of the Democrats' bills. Lawmakers at that press conference made it clear they don't agree on all these proposals, but they'll get a chance to talk about problems and potential changes when they go through the committee process. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
A structure fire in the township of Mineral Point Wednesday afternoon required a response from multiple departments. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of the fire around 2:10. Mineral Point Fire Department, Mineral Point EMS, Dodgeville Fire Department, and Cobb Fire Department initially responded to the scene. Mineral Point Fire Command pulled a mutual aid box alarm, and the following fire departments responded to the scene: Linden, Hollandale, Highland, Ridgeway, Barneveld, Arena, Spring Green, Belmont, Darlington, and Platteville. Law enforcement units from Iowa County Sheriff's Office and the Wisconsin State Patrol assisted at the scene. Alliant Energy also assisted at the scene. No injuries were reported. A La Crosse County truck driver has pleaded guilty to a 2024 attack against another driver. 60-year-old Paul Stokes pleaded guilty in La Crosse County Court Tuesday to second-degree recklessly endangering safety in connection with the attack last October. Police say Stokes was aggressively following the victim and honking repeatedly before the two pulled into a Quick Trip in West Salem. When the victim confronted Stokes, Stokes pulled a blade and slashed the victim in the neck and chest. Stokes fled but was caught 2 days later in Tennessee. He will face up to 10 years in prison at his sentencing in December. The license of the Sun Prairie School District's Human Resources Director is under investigation. Channel 3000 in Madison reports online records show the State Department of Public Instruction is investigating the license of Chris Sadler, who has held a lifetime license since 2017. Personnel records released by the district show Sadler was involved in an internal investigations into former West High School Dean Robert Gilkey Meisegeiger. Records show Sadler spoke with a student, her mother, and Gilkey Meisiger about allegations of relationship between Gilkey Meisiger and the student, but decided there was no evidence of inappropriate relationship. Gilkey Meisiger is charged in Dane County Court with 2 counts of child sexual exploitation and 13 counts of possession of child pornography. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
A month ago on your History Moments, you heard about the Little Rock. Well, in this excerpt, Little Rock, which was in Rockbridge, now is well to the south. This History Moment is about the Lone Rock and one version of how Lone Rock got its name. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to a story taken from the Lone Rock Then and Now, page 6. The Lonely Rock that made Lone Rock. Did you ever wonder how Lone Rock got its name? Well, in the 1860s, there was this imposing rock. It could be seen from a location on the Wisconsin River where boats and canoes would travel by. That became what was called the Lone Rock. The rock, which originally was referred to at one time as a massive pile of sandstone standing on a prairie a short distance from the north bank of the Wisconsin River. It became a landmark for early raftsmen who traveled down the river to make this what was called the Lone Rock. The village of Lone Rock got its name because there it was, one large rock on the north side of the river, and what is left is only can be seen now from Highway 130 opposite the entrance to Brace Memorial Park at Long Lake. This rock was at one time on the 325-acre Ball Farm, and it furnished stone for the Congressional Church Foundation and for many foundations of homes in Lone Rock. During the construction of the earliest highways and then the railroad tracks, the rock was also used and became a casualty of the area as the community developed. The rock in this area was located on the highway, and it was used then for highway construction. When the railroad began laying track, the railroad blasted the rock and, according to stories, placed it under the railroad bridge just west of the community. A picture and article appears on March 2nd, 1995 in the Richland Observer, and you can check out your own copy as it can be obtained in the Richland County History Room with the ID number 7804 in the RCR Digital Collection. Listen next week for the history of Richland County covering the Burnham and Scott produce stores.
It's a chance to go back to school. The Richland County Historical Society invites you to the Akey School Museum Sunday afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m. through September. Renew your one-room school memories or learn how your grandparents and great-grandparents learned. Admission is free, but donations are always appreciated. The Akey School Museum is located on County Highway TB, midway between Twin Bluffs and Highway 60 at Gotham.
The Gaze Mills Apple Festival will be held this weekend. The Apple Festival occurs on the final full weekend in September to coincide with the apple harvest. Events include a mini carnival, parade, vendor market featuring arts and crafts, a flea market, as well as a vast array of dancing, music, food, and refreshments at Robb Park, the Community Commerce Building, the Log Cabin Village, the Area Orchards, the Crawford County Fairgrounds, and many other village locations. Friday includes the Lions Club's flea market from 9 to 5, Main Street vendors from 10 to 5, food and beverages, and musical entertainment from the Hammond Experience from 6 to 10, and a DJ from 8 to midnight. For a complete list of what's going on at the Gaze Mills Apple Festival, check out gazemills.org/local-events/apple-festival. Southwest Wisconsin Technical College is celebrating being named the number one two-year college in the nation Saturday. A free family-friendly celebration will be held from 10 to 3 on the main campus in Fenimore. The day will feature hands-on demonstrations from academic programs, campus tours, giveaways, food trucks, and live music. No registration is needed, and everyone is welcome. Southwest Tech has received the 2025 Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, the highest award and a community college can earn. The Aspen Prize is awarded every 2 years to one college in the country for outstanding student learning, completion rates, equity, and post-college success. The Avoca Fire and EMS will host a festival this Saturday beginning at 11 at Avoca Lakeside Park. Melissa Salis is the Assistant Chief for the Avoca EMS and Safety Officer for the Avoca Fire Department.
This is our third annual event, and we really just wanted to get something back in the community, bring people together, do some family event, and then also, you know, we're really trying to raise money this year for something that our department, we feel, is a necessity, is a new UTV vehicle that we can, you know, go out in the woods and get patients out of the woods. We can, you know, put brush fires out and stuff. So this is something that, you know, the surrounding areas have, and we would like to get that purchased for our departments as well.
There will be something for the whole family, including the youngest festival goers.
There'll be an obstacle course, a toddler bounce house, and then another regular size bounce house for the kids. And then everything as far as kids goes, also starting at 11, we have Kinchi pedal poles coming out of, I believe it's Loganville. And they're going to have ages 4 to 12. So each age group gets a first, second, third place trophy. So that's always been real popular. I know they've had it at the Muscadet Morel Fest. And so we decided to pull them in this year to do that.
Car enthusiasts are also invited to bring their cars in.
The car show is starting at 11 o'clock, so 11 to 4. That's free. People can bring the cars in, and we do have, I believe there's first, second, and third place, and then there's a Kids' Choice Award. So there's trophies for the car show as well.
Renee Bergeron, an organizer of the event, also invites area fire departments to attend to participate in one of the featured events.
We're asking any local fire departments, you're all welcome to come, bring a team. The water fights will start at noon. And then after the adult water fights are done, we're going to be doing kids water fights for fun. For the adult water fights, there will be trophies, first through third place for the adults. For the kids water fights, all participating kids will receive a prize. And then after the water fights for the kids, we're going to be doing fire truck rides for free. All the kids' activities are free. So we hope a lot of kids come.
All are invited to attend the Avoca Fire and EMS Festival to also enjoy live music, a vendor market, bags tournament, kids club activities, and a dart tournament. There will also be a UTV poker run from 11 to 5 with the drawing at 6:30. For more information, check out avocaems.com/festival. Today's the deadline to register for the UW-Richland Alumni Association Fall Brunch, honoring the 2025 Outstanding Alumni, being held Saturday, October 4th at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Register today by contacting Kathy Granger by email at fairladykkg@yahoo.com or call 608-489-3629. Today's winners of $50 each in St. Anthony's calendar raffle are Fishies on ticket 282 and Mary Walls on ticket 610.